Okay, gentlemen, we'll get started and others will join us as we go along. So if I could have your attention. I would like to share with you an insight of the Sfas Emes. He was the great Rebbe from Ger, and he quotes his grandfather, Chidush HaRim, on a mission in Pirkei Avos. And I think it's very meaningful. Hillel makes two statements in Pirkei Avos. The first one is, in Ein Ani Li Mi Li. You know, if I'm not out there for myself, then who's gonna back me up? You know, here it's the selfish person who's, in a sense, plowing forward for himself. And then Hillel says, Im Ani Li Atzmi Ma Ani. But if I'm for myself, then what am I worth? And there seems to be a paradox here. Two statements in one breath. One seems to focus on the significance of the individual, his own personal desires, ambitions, capabilities, and the other puts the emphasis on the community, the klal, the group, the whole. I'm not important in and of myself. As long as I'm independent and I'm, in a sense, minutak, I'm cut off from the community, then im ani li atzmi ma ani, what am I worth? And the Rebbe sees two dimensions here in the way man should view himself, and the integration of these two that seem to be almost antithetical one to the other is the ultimate goal of our avodah, of what our service is all about. On the one hand, im ein ani li mi li, what does this mean? Every individual was created with his own unique talents, his own abilities. He was put by Hashkacha, by Divine Providence, at a certain place, in a certain time, facing particular unique challenges. And that's his goal, that's his responsibility. What I have to ask myself, what my contribution can be. And it's ani li. Ani li means I have to bat for myself, I have to be motivated, I have to realize that I was put here for a certain purpose, and that should energize me to move forward and plunge ahead towards that goal. But on the other hand, imani li atzmi ma'ani, that represents the concept of the tzibur, of the klal. I'll read to you his language. He says, kol adam nivro litaken dover miyuchad she'ein acher yochol litaken. In Chassidus, the word tikkun is a very important word, to rectify. You know, we're all put here on this world to correct something, to improve something. He says, "Bechol zman u'bechol zman u'zman miyuchad tikkun acher." A person has the ability, the potential, to rectify something that's unique to that time. You remember, perhaps, in the Yom Kippur service, we say this. The Rebbe doesn't point out. Ad shelo notzarti ki ilu lo notzarti. Eini kedai, meaning before my time came, I wasn't kedai, I wasn't worthy. My worthiness is when my time comes. You know, you can ask yourself, why were you born at this particular moment? You know, life and history has gone on for millennia. Why now and why here? And the answer is that you have a particular contribution based on your makeup, your personality, your combination of qualities and attributes of midos tovos. Now is the moment where you have to step forward, step up to the plate, as we say, and make your contribution. And then the Rebbe goes on and he says, Tzorech kol echad levatel eschelko haprati shelo el haklal. Paradoxically, now I have to take my unique portion and completely nullify it. I have to sort of embrace the klal. I have to. I'll give you a mashal. I think what the Rebbe is trying to say is that if you look up at the sky at night, if it's a clear night, you'll see stars. If you study the stars, as astronomers do, they'll find that each star is unique. No two stars are identical, but yet the stars together form a constellation. In the constellation, the star is batel, it sort of forfeits its own identity to be part of a whole. Are you following me? Let's take, for example, the mashal of the human face. I remember I was once down in Orlando, you know, in Disney World. They have these games that you could play on a computer. So they have this game where you have to try to guess if you can identify the face that they're showing you on the screen. You know, it's a famous actor or politician or sportsman. And what they do is you're allowed to press certain, you know, pieces of the puzzle, and you get to see part of the face. And then, to win the game, as long as you don't have to see the whole thing, as soon as you can guess the right answer. Who is the... Did you ever see that? Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I did.
It's a lot of fun. This is becoming more and more popular. Now, the human face is made up of different parts. If you would identify, let's say, the eyes of a person, they function on their own, independently. And the same thing is for the nose and the mouth and the ears and the forehead. Everything functions and has its own place. But then what happens when you put all these little pieces together? It becomes a new entity. The complexion of a person. In Lashon Kodesh, that's called Goy. Gimel Vav Yud, or Gvir. Gvir in English is called the countenance. Right? So perhaps you may have heard of a school of psychology called Gestalt. The Gestalt psychology school, which originated in Germany, believes that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Do you hear that? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And as you just don't add 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 times 5 and you get the number 5, what you end up with is some new entity called 6. And that means that if I contribute as part of a group, as part of a community, even though I forfeit to some extent my self-identity, I'm no longer myself because I don't have my own identity, yet I contribute something great on behalf of the whole. That's why you'll find in the Torah, Chazal will always emphasize that the people of Israel are compared to stars. Kochafim shebashamayim. If you can only count them. Because in Klal Yisrael, every Jew is unique, like the star, is cherished in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But on the other hand, every Jew participates in this glorious whole, is part of the universal Jewish complexion, in which you don't even see his unique contribution, because it's part of a greater whole. And in Hasidus, it's very fascinating. The days of creation, how many days of creation do we know of? 6, correct? Because 7, there's no creation on 7. So what happens here, the relationship between the 6 days, Yishesh Simei Masa, and the 7th day, which is Shabbos, the day of Menucha. So in Hasidus, it's very interesting. Because Al Pi Pshat, we would say that every day is unique in the 6 days of creation because something is added to the universe. You know, on this day, this was created, on that day, that was created. But Hasidus believes that every day of the week, insofar as it's imbued with a certain spirit, has its own personality. And the first day of the week is different than the second. It's like every day we say Mizmor Shir, right? Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Those Mizmorim really represent the unique complexion or personality of each day. It's very metaphysical. But every day, like for example, Yom Shlishi is Pamayim Kitov. And certain Midos are imbued in that day. And therefore you find, for example, the Mishnah at the beginning of Exubus will talk about what day of the week you should get married on because there's a certain... Right, do you remember that Mishnah? Did you ever learn that Mishnah? How does it start? Well, when should a girl get married if it's a first marriage?
Preferably 6 months after...
No, which day of the week? The first Mishnah Exubus.
Friday, Tuesday, Sunday.
Okay, Wednesday. Nobody got... Oh, somebody said Wednesday. Finally, after 6 tries, somebody got it right. So on Wednesday night, and then this Thursday, this Friday, every day has its own complexion.
What's
Wednesday going into Thursday has to do with when Besdin sits. Because Besdin sits on Monday and Thursday, and that too is a reflection of the nature of Yom Sheni and Yom Chamishi. And Yom Shishi is a bracha, is a day of bracha, because Hashem said, gave a bracha, bestowed a bracha on Adam and Chava, on Yom Shishi. So therefore, the day of the sixth day of the week is a bracha. Every day has its own bracha. It has its own personality, as I said before. Now, what you have is now, in a sense, a sort of antithesis, meaning there's a certain friction here between different midos, different attributes. Right? For example, you as a yachid think one way. I as a yachid think a different way. So you and I may want to get to the same goal, but you'll have a whole different method. This is what's called in employment, this is called division of labor. For example, if you fight in the Israeli army, so you might belong to the infantry, which is called Chir or Chel Regel, You might belong to the tanks. Anybody know what that's called?
Shiryon,
right? And then you put, and whether you're in Shiryon or you're in Golani, you're a foot soldier. You're always out there to defeat the enemy and protect your nationality. But there are whole different methods. For example, if a baby gets sick, Nebuchadnezzar, with cancer, so what doctor do you take the baby to? So if you take the baby to an oncologist who's in charge, you know, that's his specs in cancer research, the oncologist will have a very unique, particular way of zapping the cancer.
Pediatrician
will have a whole different method. For example, my son, my Bihar, is in emergency medicine. He automatically thinks in a certain method. You bring him someone who's in an emergency situation, let's say he was in an accident or whatever, and there's a certain way he does it. That same child maybe was brought to a pediatrician. There might be a whole different method. That's why Chazal say, if you're familiar with the pasuk, Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, ka is yud ke, like that's the shortest name of Almighty God, has a yud and a he. And with that yud k, God created two worlds. Olamim. What are those two worlds? Olam hazeh and olam haba. Right. So the he represents olam hazeh. It's grounded in this physical world, this limited mortal physical world. And the yud, which is really a point, yud is really a point. It's above time and space. That belongs to an eternal world. And when God created the world, he had to combine these two elements. So there's an eternity called the Yud, which is down here in this world. Like, what's the difference between Ish and Isha? Okay, do we have a pen or something that write down Ish and Isha. Oh, this is good? Okay. So what's the difference between Ish and Isha? Right? They both have what? The Aleph and the Shin. But what does male have? He has the yud. What does female have?
The hey.
When they get together, that's called zahu. The Gemara says, if they marry, when they get together, shchina, shruya, beinehem. Okay, which means that the yud, which is contributed by male, gets together with the hey, that's contributed by female, and the yud hey, which is a combination of two worlds, man representing the world of infinity, right? He has a particular perspective on time, and female representing the world of physicality. They're both moving towards the same goal, which is the Shekhinah, to bring the Shekhinah down in this world. But male and female may have two different approaches, right? Two different methodologies. You know, she belongs to foot soldiers, and he belongs to the tanks.
What does infinity mean?
Infinity means Ein Sof, Bli Gvul. Correct, we live in a spatial world, so we're limited by time and space. But there's another world out there, the world of Nishamot, which is above time and space. So let's get back to what we started with. Yeah.
What does Shriya mean?
Shriya means to reside, to abide. So the Shekhinah abides between the husband and the wife because of this combination of the Yud and the Keh. Okay? So for example, when I get up in the morning and I say Shalom Asani Isha, what I'm saying is that God, you gave me the ability to reach my goal with the tools that I need, maybe with the Yud, and that's going to be my challenge. You didn't confuse me by giving me the head of a female. Unfortunately, today we have a lot of people very confused. We won't go into detail of that. But Shalom Asani Isha. That means that I have the ability to function as I function. Now a guy, or Nahri, has his ability and qualities that he got, represented by the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, and he has to reach God in his way. And he has his own function. And Eved is somewhere in the middle. You know, he's got his own set of rules. So we each belong to a different division. And in each division, we are taught a certain methodology of how to reach a goal. That's called the division of labor. Now, if somebody from the infantry decides that he's going to jump ship and, you know, enter into a tank, he's AWOL. You know, he's really, you know, you can put him into, what's it called in the American Army? You can court-martial him, right? Because he's crossed all the bounds. Everybody has to fit. And not only do we have certain abilities, but each individual has his own unique combination of abilities. Now, for example, when the Torah says, teach Torah. So according to the Torah law, who has to teach Torah? Rabbi Resnick has to teach you fellas?
The father.
The father has to teach you Torah. And you, every one of you, Mirza Shem, will at one point be fathers, and you'll have to face this responsibility. You want to give your children over to Rabbi Resnick, might be a good idea. Or you might say, well, look, the Torah says, Limanitim Osomes B'neichem, I have to teach my own son. Why do you think the father is the right choice to teach his son? Exactly, he knows what his son's capabilities are. He recognizes his son. Hopefully he's watched his son grow. He's even played an active role in bringing him to where he is. Okay, so you have the Sheishes Yimei Amar. So each day has its own unique combination of attributes and represents a certain unique personality. But now we have the first day, the second day, the third day. But yet we've got a certain conflict here because there are different methods and different attributes. So what happens on the seventh day? But what's that called? In Lashon Kodesh, what is Shabbos? What does it represent? Does anybody know Ner Shabbos, for example, which really represents Shabbos? No, more than Kedusha. Do you remember the Gemara in Shabbos asked if you have one candle and it's Shabbos Hanukkah, should you use it for Hanukkah candles or should you use it for Shabbos candles? Why? Do you remember the Gemara's answer? Then Hanukkah represents Pirsumei Nisa, but why is Shabbos greater? Why does it trump the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? Anybody know? Well, okay, that's good.
It's
called Shalom Bayis. Shabbos represents Shalom. That's why in Shabbos we say Shabbat Shalom. Oseh Shalom Bimromav. Like, we can't create Shalom. We don't have the ability to create perfect harmony. We need the Shechina Shruya Beinechem. That's Oseh Shalom Bimromav. God has to come down and create peace. And that's what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos has the bracha of all 6 days of Yemei Masa. Each day has its own bracha in a unique way, and those brachas combine to form a greater whole, a gestalt, which is called Shabbos. I want to share with you an insight of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim quotes a beautiful medrash. Listen to the medrash of the Chofetz Chaim. It says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God comes to the people of Israel and he has a request. Imagine, Almighty God, a request from Klal Yisrael. Bonai Ahuvai, my beloved children, Klum Chasarti Dover Shavakesh Mimchem. Is there anything that's missing to me, Kaviyachol, that I would come and ask from you? Elamani Mavakesh Mimchem, I have only one request from you. Elashatiyu Ohavim Ze Et Ze, Vitiyu Mechabdim Ze Et Ze. What is God asking for?
Respect one another.
Correct, that you work together. Love each other. Appreciate each other. I know that you have a different style than I do. And frankly, I don't always understand the way you're thinking. I don't understand your methodology. Your personality is a little bit foreign or alien to me. I don't always feel comfortable with the way you approach a problem. Your system of problem solving to get to a goal. But says Hashem, if you work together as a klal, as an achidah, as a unit, and you respect each other and love each other, you overcome all the differences between you. Now, how do you accomplish that goal? By becoming more spiritual. You see, the physical body separates one individual from the other. In its original form, the neshama was part of the Kisei HaKovod, it was part of Hashem. It's a chelik elokamima. Up there in the heavens, there is no difference between one Jew and the other. We're all one. But we were split into different gufos. We came down to different physical bodies, and now the friction starts. Because you have your approach and I have my approach. So if we were at a meeting of the Vaad, you know, in every building here in Israel, we have the Vaad gets together, you know, to decide how to run the building. And so this guy gets up and he says this, and this guy, and this, you know. You know, people think of the kibbutz. You know, a kibbutz is run by a vad. You know, it's the vad of the kibbutz. And they get to very serious debates. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking for one thing. Shetiyu ovim said, Shenemar, and the Pasuk says, Higid l'cha odo matov u'ma Hashem doresh mimcha ki im asos mishpat v'avas chesed. All that Hashem is asking is avas chesed. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a book called Avas Chesed. It's a great book. I would really, really recommend it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, listen to his insight into this Medrash. He says, if you want to find a concrete example of what this Medrash has in mind, then study the Mishkan. Why? What happened at the Mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu sends out a clarion call, and what does he ask for? Volunteers. But you're going to volunteer your way, and I'm going to volunteer in my way, and that's great. And you're good at carpentry, so you're going to make the luchos, and I'm good at something else. Everyone has their own craft, and we have what's called the Chachmei Lev, and each one of the Chachmei Lev came forward with his own unique contribution. And then the Mishkan was complete. What happens when the Mishkan is complete? We go into a new mode. What's that mode called? Chanukas HaMishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan. Who's going to play the major role in the dedication of the Mishkan? Who? Not the Kohanim at all. In fact, the Kohanim got very depressed about it because they weren't included in the Chanukas HaMishkan. It was the Nesiim. Every Shevet represented by his Nasi came forward with a contribution on behalf of the celebration of the Chanukas HaMishkan. And no doubt that each Nasi would have wanted to bring his own contribution until Nesanel ben Suar of Shevet Yisachar, he got up and he said, you know what? Let's all bring the identical gift. By the way, if you ever read Parshas Naso, it's a boon for a Baal Korah, because once you know it once, you know all 12 Shvat, you know, it's great. You know, you think, for us sitting in the audience, it's boring as sin, but you know, for the Baal Korah, it's great. You know, he has to learn just one, and then he has it all. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Hayasham Nisanel ben Suar Nasi Yisachar V'yatzlem, he came up with the Eitzah Shiukulam Nidvasam Zekaze V'lo Yadif Echad Al Chavero. One should not be different. Do you remember the phrase in English, keep up with the Joneses? It means I want to outdo you. So there would have been a very great temptation for one Nasi to outdo the other. Oh, you only brought three karbanos, I'm going to bring five. And before you know it, it's out of control. So he came up with the eight. So lo yadif echad al chavero. We're going to avoid any jealousy, any undue competition. But rather, it's going to be oavim zetzeh umechadim zetzeh. Says the Chafetz Chaim, listen carefully. V'hayelo laKadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach mizeh. Hashem was very joyous, very happy, kaviyochel, in human terms, by the fact that they were kulam oavim zetzeh, they wanted to avoid kinah, any jealousy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in that merit, says the Chafetz Chaim, etein lochem es haShabbos. Do you know that Mishkan and Shabbos always go together? Wherever you find Mishkan in the Torah, you'll find Shabbos. Vayakel, you open up Parshas Vayakel, and the first thing after Moshe gathers together the people, he gives them what? Shabbos. Everybody asks the question, all the Mepharshim go to town. At that point, he gathered them together. There should have been a tikkun for the Chet HaEgel, and that's the Mishkan. No, first I got to tell you about Shabbos. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the Shabbos is the gift because Bnei Yisrael are Oavim Zetzeh. First you go to Shlav Aleph, what we call the first stage. Everybody makes their own contribution to the Mishkan. You do what you do, and I do what I do, and we're each different, one from the other. Your personality, your contribution. And then we get to the point in which the Nesiim come and they all in unison bring the same identical gift to avoid any difference. We're part of a greater whole. We're part of an entity, of an achdus. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, Hashem grants them what? Shabbos. Why Shabbos? What's the connection here to Shabbos? You know, we have a principle called Midah. Keneged Mida. You know, you get a reward that fits the meritorious act that you did. Where does the reward fit? The answer is, what is Shabbos according to the Sfas Emes? It's the Achdus. It's the Bittul Atzmi. I overcome my need and my desire to be unique and individual, outshine you, Imanili. Imanili Mili. And instead, Imanili Atzmi, Marni. Now I have to become part of the Shabbos. The Shabbos represents the collection, the constellation of all the other 6 days, all together into one. And I think that perhaps, you know, this is a message for life, for all of us, in terms of how we have to, on the one hand, be individuals, be unique. Everyone has to see themselves as special. the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Lama Nivra Adam Yechidi, why was Adam HaRishon created as one person? And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Kala Matzil Nefesh Achas Misro Kilu Hitzel Olam Olam, that every individual represents a world, an entire world, a universe. But on the other hand, I link up to the Klal. And that's the idea of creating a Mishpacha. When you create a family, it's a unit, it's a harmony, and that's what Shalom Bayis is all about. The problem that we face, and today it's become very extreme, is that each individual is tugging towards themselves, pulling in their own selfish direction, with their own goals and their own methodology, without the respect for the Klal. And that breaks up the harmony in the home. And that's why we're facing so much e-shalom bias today. Shabbos represents shalom. You remember the song, Dem Heilige Shabbos, the Holy Shabbos? Holiness always represents achdus. For example, you find in Karbanos that in the Tamidim, which animal was chosen for the Tamidim? We bring a Talmud in the morning. The sheep. And why the sheep? Do you remember we discussed this once? Because the sheep, the Chazal say, even though the shor, the ox, is a much more powerful animal, much more mechubid, but there's something beautiful about the sheep. The sheep sing kol echad. Next time you pass the Bedouins with the sheep, listen carefully, you'll hear the sheep singing together. That singing together, says the Shem Yishmuel, from the Sokachava, represents the achdus, that when we come every day, twice a day, the Korban Tomid, we're coming in front of Hashem as one unit. We're going back to the Shoresh, if you remember the Olamos Elyonim, those higher worlds of the Neshamos, where there is no difference between one and another. In the clarity of the higher worlds, the spiritual eternal worlds, there's no friction, there's no difference, we're all one. And if that be the case, we can understand full well why there are no chatoim that would undo or vitiate the power of the Korban Tamid. You know, Korban Tamid is born on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So who makes up Klal Yisrael? Well, they're not all tzaddikim. I mean, v'yamei kulam tzaddikim. That's what we say. Do you remember what we say at the first thing we do on Leil Yom Kippur? Before we enter into the holy day? No, but what is the first declaration that we make when we get to Shul? Al das hamokom, right? Al das hakol on a matirim lispalel im harvar yonim. My father's shul, we had 300 people on an average Shabbos. On Yom Kippur, we had 1,200 people. Unfortunately, today you won't see this anymore. When I say unfortunately, it's not that we don't have the 300 people. We still have the 300 people. But what happened to the other 900? Where did they disappear? So that we don't have so much anymore. There was a day when I remembered, my youth, when I was your age, when Jews would come out in droves because of Kol Nidre, or because of the Yizkor appeal. I remember a day when Sandy Koufax didn't pitch in the World Series on Rosh Hashanah. Again, I don't know if that means anything to you, if you aren't a Dodger fan, but it means that you had something, some relationship. On a matirim list, palel im havaryonim. We have to introduce the havaryonim. We have to have the Jews with us. Klal Yisrael is coming for what's called kaparas hatzibur, the atonement of the entire klal. We can only achieve that if they're representatives in the entire klal. Not every one of the Jewish people is educated. Not everyone got a Torah upbringing like you and I. Not everyone went to Hetzias Roy Samakolim. So there are people who are out there who never don't know an aleph from a beis. My father used to use a Yiddish phrase, Zekenet mech ha-motzi ha-faretach. They don't know how to make ha-motzi lech menorah on a ranch. That is a joke. It's a Yiddish phrase. What it means, they don't know what means about the Torah. These are avayonim. People who drive to shul, even on Yom Kippur. Never. But we need them. The Gemara says in Tainis, Kol Tainis she'ein ima miposha Yisrael av Tainis. When the Jewish people, as a group, as a national collective entity, get together for a fast, for the kingdom of Zaka and Tshuva, we have to have Poshe Yisrael. It can't be all tzaddikim. And the Gemara derives it from what? Anybody remember? I'll give you a hint in the Ketores. How many Samamonim were there in the Ketores?
21.
13. And one of them was called Chelbana. It had a beautiful smell. The Gemara says in Yuma that if you were as far from the Mikdash as Yericho, you could smell the odor. Not only that, the women, because they were close enough to Yerushalayim, I don't know if you ever went from Yerushalayim to Yericho, it's quite a trip, but the Taurus was so powerful that the odor, this beautiful smell, they didn't need perfume at all, would penetrate into their clothing and everything from Yerushalayim because of the Taurus. But the Chelbin, the Gemara says, which is one of the Samamonim, without which the Taurus is possible, it's not worth a thing, Recho Ra. It has a foul odor, Chelbin. And yet when you join it together with the other Samamonim, it contributes to the beauty of the whole. My Rebbe Rav Salvation always tell us that the Rambam, when he describes Yom HaKippur, he describes it as Yom Tzom. What does Tzom mean? Tzom is a fast. But what does it mean in Lashon Kodesh? What's the root of the word Tzom? Does anybody know what Tzoma means? Tzadi Mem Hei?
Thirsty.
No, that's a different word. That's Soma with an olive. But Soma means with a hay, a braid. B-R-A-I-D. A braid is when you take different strands and you combine them together and they form one new entity. That's what a tzibur is. When we come on a day like Yom Kippur to pray on behalf of the Kaparas HaTzibur to achieve the atonement, we have to come as a tzibur. So we have to drop all our individual differences. In the piyutim of Yom Kippur, in the tefillos, you'll see over and over again that the day of Yom Kippur is a day of achdus, a day of love, a day of miut ktoto, there's no fighting. That's the achdus. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabboson. It's Shabbos multiplied over, because if every Shabbos is mentioned to be the achdus, and we bring the Karban Musaf, it's beautiful, the Karban Musaf of Shabbos is compared to Tosefes Ksuv. Is there anyone here in this room knows what Tosefes Ksuv is? You know, I'm impressed. Go ahead. Tosefet Ketubah. You know what that is? How much does a man who marries a woman for the first time, how much does he owe her in the Ketubah? 200 zuz. 200 zuz? If he jacks it up to 400, that's called what? Tosefet Ketubah. Is he obligated to do so? Why would a man offer his wife in marriage an extra 200 zuz? Or it could be 100 zuz. What is he trying to demonstrate? What is he trying to express? Exactly, that extra love. That's the Karban Musaf on Shabbos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy that we come together, which is called in Kegavim, as part of the Zohar in Nusach Sfarah, they recite every Friday night, Raza di Echad, the secret of one. Shabbos represents the one in which we all unite together as one entity. And therefore Hashem loves us on Shabbos, and He gives us a Tosefes Ksuvah. And that's called the Karban Musaf, which represents the Tosefes Ksuv. And every morning, Rabbosai, what's the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning? Modani. Can anybody here say Modani by heart? Modani. Well, wait, go slow, because I'm going to criticize you if you make a mistake. So be careful. Go ahead.
Modani is
No, that I don't have to correct. Asher Yatzarto. Go ahead, starting it. Modani. Say the last three words again. Wrong. Excellent. I'm impressed. What's your name?
Ari.
Ari's on the ball. Bechemla, comma, Rabba Unasa. You gotta put the comma in there. You gotta take a pause after your Bechemla. People mistake that they read it Bechemla Rabba. It's not Bechemla Rabba. It's Bechemla. With your compassion, God, you return my soul to me at night and see your enemy Shishim Shabbisa. But Rabba Unasek. Now who can translate Rabba Unasek into English?
Great
is your faith. Now wait a second. Great is your faith. The Y of the word your is capital, but it's referring to God. Faith. Who has faith? Anybody want to raise their hand and say they're Bala Muna? That's a tall order. I hope you're all. I don't see too many hands going up. Rabbi, you got to give him a Shir Namuna here. This is so good. Okay, we got up to three. We got to zoom in on Bali Amuna here. Oh, now we're up to four. Anybody have five? Okay, we have five people who believe. In whom do we have faith? In God. But here we say, how great is your faith? Which means that God has faith. What does that mean? You say it every day. It's the first field they taught me as a baby. And I still don't understand. What's Rabbi going to say? How great is your faith?
Because he gives us faith that instead that he didn't keep our Neshama there and we'll just slide it like bugs. They give us our Neshama because he has faith in us.
Excellent. Beautiful. And my father, Svarov Yochi, used to quote the Sifri in Parshas Hazinu, on the Pasuk Kel Emunah, God of Faith, the Sifri adds three words to the Pasuk. Listen carefully. Shehevin be'olamo ubrachu. God believed in the world and created it. God believes in you. God believes in me. God believes in man. God has faith in man. And now we're ready for the Birkas Hashachar. What's the Birkas Hashachar? I understand, but what is it? It's a measure of how much faith God has in us. Because if I have faith in you, and we go into business together, then what do? I invest in you. If you're a student of mine, and I think you have potential, I'll invest in you. I invest my energies in you, sometimes even my funds. I'll invite you to my house. And by the way, anyone wants to come to our house in Arnof, please let us know. Friday night Shabbos, if you're in Arnof, I don't know how you have an issue. But even during the week, you want to come for a meal, we live about 20 minutes from here in Arnof, please come watch. That's called investing. When you invest in something, it's because you believe in it. Hashem invested us. How do you measure that investment? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Pokeach Ivrim. You know, when I was a kid, we used to watch television. You won't believe this. Prehistoric times, before the dinosaurs. We used to watch television in black and white. Why? I don't know if you ever seen clips from Charlie Chaplin. You may see the old black and white, right? You know? Today, there's no such thing as black and white. Everything's in color. I open up my eyes in the morning. What did God give me? The ability to see in color. Beautiful color. I don't know if anybody here in the room is into art. Anybody like art? Fine art? Paintings? The most beautiful paintings in the world are combinations of colors, color combinations. God gave us the ability to see color combinations. He didn't have to do that. But the answer is that God invests in us. And the investment has to create dividends. We have to take those investments and use them. Everything belongs to God. Anshamalach, Anguf Shalom. Lashem Hearts and Meloa, you created everything, you're the master, you're the owner of everything. You set the rules. And basically God gives out all these gifts to us, bestows them upon us gratis, and we are called upon to give back. Not to Hashem, he doesn't need it, but to use those energies, to use those capabilities to serve Hashem. Each of one of us in our own unique way. But that's not the end of the game. The end of the game, the ultimate, is to be part of a great whole. To be part of its tzibur. To realize that as much as I have to create, as I have to contribute, use my talents, but when it comes to the tzibur, for the benefit of the whole, I give up. And the paradigm of that is Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Ribbono Shel Olam? When the Ribbono Shel Olam threatens in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel to destroy the Jewish people, in Cain, who remembers the pasuk? Mecheni, Mecheni Misifrach. I'm giving it all up. Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to forfeit it all for the sake of the tzibur. Same thing happens for Aaron. We mentioned it last time. You remember Aaron and Pinchas? Aaron, the grandfather Zayd of Pinchas, is willing to give it all up at the time of the Eger. He's stalling. He's foot dragging. Yeah, bring your gold. Bring this. Let's see what happens. Hopefully Moshe will show up. He's got to stem the tide. He's out to save Klal Yisrael. Imani liatzmi. Money. I have to wave the banner of the tzibur. And once I become part of the tzibur, once I link up to the tzibur, then I have the amazing power to come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, God, I'm here with the tzibur. I have special zchuyot, special merits that go way beyond myself. I'm part of a greater whole in order to serve you, to bring magnificence and glory to your name. He wrought something to be his will that all of us will utilize our abilities, our talents, appreciate what God has invested in us. Never has shown in disappointing him, because if God invested in us, he wants to see dividends. And then, if we use it all, we can bring about a wonderful clock, a constellation, let's see. And I want to conclude with the Shir Shel Yom that we recited yesterday. Mi Aleh Bahar Hashem. What is it? Kapitel 91, right? Who's the greatest? Who can climb the ascend and out of God? And then what does it say? Asher lo nasal ashav. Now, does anybody know what the word lashav means? No. Mashav means in vain. Bechinam. To fritter something away, to waste it. That's called a shav. But look at the syntax of the word. Asher lo nasal ashav. Now she. Who's talking? The Ribbon Shalom is talking. Why does it say nafshi? The Chafetz Chaim asked the question. It should have said, according to Diduk, Asher lo nasal ashav, nafsho. God invested in you a soul. Are you wasting it away? If you didn't, then we have something to talk about. Then you have something to contribute. Then you're Yehole Bahar Hashem. And the Chafetz Chaim gave a beautiful mashal. So there were two friends. We'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was very successful in his business. Shimon initially was successful. Then he had a loss. Tremendous financial loss. And in that moment of crisis, he heard about a possible business venture and he knew that he had to grab onto it. Chabara. So he had to invest, but he didn't have funds. So who does he turn to? His good buddy Reuven. And he knocks on the door and he comes into the room and he says, my good Chabar Reuven, can you give me a loan? I'm really down now. And Reuven says, and how much money do you need? Shimon says, I need 1,000 rubles. That's an awful sum of money. And Reuven, out of love and compassion, goes over to his safe, counts out gold coins. Each coin is 10 rubles. He puts little bags of 10 bags of 10, 1,000 rubles. And he says to Shimon, when are you giving back? Shimon says, the year to the day. Wraps it up in a bag of his 10 little packs, 1,000 rubles. And a year to the day, Shimon comes into the room and he puts on Reuven's table the exact same bag with the same 100 gold coins. It means he didn't lose it. And Reuven gets very angry. He's very disappointed. I took all these funds, I tied them up. I could have used them. I gave them to you, Shimon, in order to do something with them. To invest. And you return them exactly as they are. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is a mashal. The nimshal is, Hashem gives us each a nefesh. It's really chelek eloka, it's a piece of himself. And he lends it to us for 70 years, for 80 years. He doesn't want it back in the same state that he gave it to us. And Hashem says to someone, Nosa lashov nafshi. You took my nefesh, very dear, chelek eloka, and you wasted it, you frittered it away. Your challenge was to take it and give it back to me in an upgraded state. So we will have to dedicate our kochos, not to Chas V'Shalom disappoint. The Ribbono Shel Olam is invested in us with great gifts as we recite every morning, Rabba Emunah Secha. And if we can give back our nefesh to Hashem after 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years, and it's in an upgraded state of Tara and Kedusha, then we know that we've done our share to bring about Mashiach's kingdom here in the name.